Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Philosophical Inquiry here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, we got this from someone named Jennifer Scott from Redmond, Washington.
Uh-huh.
And this is very interesting. I'll just read it to you. Dear Click and Clack, since you guys seem to be so keen on wacko theories, I wanted to share with you my own personal theory of people. This theory is most easily explained with a shopping analogy. Say I'm shopping at Macy's and I find a red t-shirt with a pocket. While the shirt is very nice, I wouldn't buy it because I already have a red t-shirt with a pocket, so I don't need another one.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? Well, the same rationale can be applied to people. Let's say I'm walking down the street and I meet a half Filipino, half American male with a penchant for playing video games late at night and modifying his Subaru Impreza. Well, I don't need one of those. I already have one. He's called my husband. And believe me, one is plenty. But the theory of people poses an interesting question. Is there really a need for both a click and a clack? Think about it. If I already have one Italian MIT-educated mechanic spouting questionable automotive advice on a public radio station and laughing at his own jokes, do I really need another one?
I'm out of here.
Do I even have room for another one? I'm sorry to say it, but I think this theory renders one of you moot. But I'll leave it to you two to sort out who's relevant and who's moot. I want to be moot.
Nice to meet you, moot. I'm relevant. Yeah, no, I think what happens is each of us provides the other with the courage to give an answer, even though you know it's wrong, with the hope that the other one will back you up.
And that's good?
Well, that was the hope I always had, except it hardly ever worked out like that.
It hardly ever works out. Usually I'm arguing with you, and you're arguing with me.
Yeah, well, I know.
And what good is that to the people listening?
And think how much more peaceful it would be
if there was only one of us.
Like you. We're here.
Yeah.
I could go on and just give the answers and not have anyone saying, bogus.
Yeah. Well, we have to give this some thought.
Why don't we each take a week off?
I'll take this week.
Okay. See ya.
See ya later.
Look, if you have a question about your car, give me a call. I'm here to help. He left. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. Oh, he's back. We're both here to help, evidently. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. By the way, before the show starts every week,
yeah,
we put Tommy in front of the microphone, and there's this whole procedure,
yeah,
that our engineer and John Perotti and Dave Green go through insofar as adjusting the microphone so it is in exactly the right spot so Tom's voice will sound the best. And now that you've gotten up and walked out of the room and taken your headset off and all that, that's it. You won't be able to hear anything.
What?
Anyway, 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jesse calling from Walla Walla, Washington.
Hi, Jesse.
Jesse, Walla Walla.
It's so nice they had to name it twice.
God. What's up, Jesse?
Well, I have an 89 Volvo 760 turbo wagon, and when I'm on the highway going about 60 or faster, when I'm going around a right-hand bend in the road, there's a point in the turn where my steering wheel has a lot of tension in it, and then I have to really give it a tug to get it to pull past that point. And once I do, it smooths out, but there's a little jerk in there. And I'm wondering what's going on.
That's what somebody said about the studio this morning. There's a couple of
jerks in the studio.
Well, there's a jerk in my car, too.
So let me get this right. You're making a hard turn or a high-speed turn.
It's a high-speed turn. It's usually a right-hand bend in the road. It's never a left-hand bend. And about halfway through that turn, I feel some tension in the steering wheel.
Oh, I don't like this.
No, I don't. Well, your mechanic's going to like it, but you ain't going to like it.
Oh,
but,
no.
And when you say you feel this tension, uh-huh, you feel a stiffness. Is that would that be more accurate?
Yep.
Yeah, and the car won't go that way unless you give it a little tug.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what you need, unfortunately, that kind of a turn you're making is probably the turn. In fact, that number of degrees the steering wheel has turned to negotiate that turn is probably the turn that it's made most often in its lifetime. And so that part of the rack and pinion steering is worn out.
I hate to say it, but my brother and I are fully in agreement on this one.
Okay. Yeah,
and you got to get it fixed because
you're
going to crash the thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Volvo if I crash.
If you crash, I know, you're in good shape probably, but you need to have the rack replaced.
Okay.
Because what's happening is it's just the bushings are worn out, and the rack itself is probably getting pushed up against the pinion, which is the little gear on the end of the steering column, and it's making it hard for it to move.
Okay.
And eventually, it'll lock up, and you won't be able to turn it back.
Oh, that doesn't sound like much fun.
That's not fun at all.
Yeah, no. You got to start wearing your football helmet because you never know what's going to happen. You got to get this fixed right away.
Yeah.
Are you thinking this is a big mechanic bill?
It's several hundred dollars.
Okay.
And I wouldn't advise you to put in a used one because you might find one that's as old and beat up or worse.
Right.
Than the one you have. So you have to get either a brand new one or a rebuilt one. But you can get a rebuilt one even from Volvo, and they're not a whole lot of money.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Do it soon.
All right, I will.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
We agreed completely on that as soon as she said
so that's further evidence that both of us weren't necessary for that call.
That's
we should just see how many calls we do today where
we agree.
We agree or where one of us doesn't say anything. Because if that's the case, then you weren't needed anyway.
That's right. But what if sometimes one of us doesn't say anything and sometimes another one doesn't say anything? Which one of us is needed and which one of us is moot?
I don't know. Well, we'll see. Let's not let's not get ahead of ourselves here. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is James, and I'm from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, James.
Yes, James, what's up?
Well, this is a moral issue, and I figured that you're two good Italian guys, and you'll figure this out. I'm Roman Catholic, too, and this has just got me, you know?
Yeah.
We recently purchased a 1985 Cadillac Fleetwood Brougham.
Oh, man. Does it get any better than that?
Well, it does.
Yeah.
It does. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we've had the car for about 7 months. 2 weeks ago, I'm in the trunk of the car. And
hanging around?
No. I was
getting measuring for bodies, you know.
But man, the story gets good here because I noticed the rug was kind of loose. That's not anything exceptional. But, there was a little tab that was holding the rug on.
You pulled that and you found Jimmy Hoffa.
No, I found $3,200 in small bills.
That's even better.
Honest to God.
Did you really?
Honest to God. And it was in a yellowed kind of envelope. Now, here's the moral dilemma.
You tell your wife.
You know, guys, that's the first thing I did. I took the envelope and I brought it right to her.
You fool.
I mean, it was just kind of a reflex reaction. I said, look at what I found. Now, but here's the deal. Now, then my conscience started to bother me, and I said, you know, I should go back to the guy who sold me the car and tell him and maybe share in the trophy, right?
He didn't know about it either.
Clearly not.
Clearly not.
So it was.
So you know the guy that you bought the car from?
I'm hardly familiar with it. We live in the same general neighborhood, and he's not talking to me very much. Every time he sees me, he kind of hides.
Why is that?
It was his parents' car, and I think he thinks I'm going to come back to him and say, you know, what a piece of junk. I paid $2,000 for this car.
And what's he going to say when he hears this call on his local NPR station?
Hopefully he won't. He won't be listening.
And you're not really from Charleston, South Carolina.
No, I am.
And your name is not James.
No, everything so far is the absolute God's honest truth.
So what do you propose? I know what I would suggest.
What's that?
Well, I would suggest that you got to tell him about it.
Okay.
Don't you? But it probably was his parents' money.
Right.
Do you and this person from whom you bought it have a favorite charity?
Yeah, maybe that's the, you know, that appeals to me.
I think, you should get together and send that charity $100 and keep the rest.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. What is charity? Why doesn't charity begin at home?
That's what my wife said.
Yeah.
Like they always say.
Unfortunately, the money belongs to him.
How much?
His parents.
He sold the car and everything in it.
The parents are dead.
Was there anything else in the car?
Except, you know, there's some dog hairs and a bad air conditioner compressor. But that went with.
Now, wait a minute, James. Have you torn apart the entire car? I mean, if there was $3,200 hidden in a place so easy to find, imagine what's inside the doors.
Imagine what's inside the seats.
You're gonna
get the roof lining.
Cut that thing open, man.
You've got a point.
You need to tear up every.
Do you have an oxyacetylene torch?
Right.
Would you like one?
Give us your address. We'll be down there in the morning. You need to cut the thing open.
Right.
I don't think you can take a chance. There might be $132,000 in this car.
This might be the tip of the iceberg.
You may be right, and then I could be really generous.
Exactly. You can give them $5,000.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, I think you have to, at the very least, take out the back seat.
Okay, we'll do that.
Legally, you bought the car and everything in it.
Right.
So the money's yours.
You think
so? No, but morally, the money belongs. If it's only $3,200,
right,
there's no reason to
go
to hell.
Don't ever lie,
no reason
cheat, or steal unnecessarily.
If it's $3,200, give them the money. Your conscience will be clear. It's not going to change your life. If it's $132,000, call us back. We'll talk.
And if you get a phone call from him,
right,
like tomorrow.
Yeah, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then we don't owe him nothing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Good luck, James.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary from New Orleans.
Hi, Mary.
What's up?
Well, I have a Dodge Caravan, but my question is not about the car. It's about something I should have learned 30 years ago in driver's ed. That is, how do I position my left side view mirror so that I don't have a blind spot and have to turn to my left to see if there's a car coming up? I used to drive these little cars, a Tercel and a Datsun, and I could do it then, but now I'm in this minivan, and I can't figure it out.
Really?
Well, one of the reasons is the side view mirror is higher off the ground. If you set it parallel to the ground, you end up looking over the roofs of a lot of the littler cars. So you miss them entirely.
Yeah, they're not there.
So you have to.
There's these cars that drive up that I don't see.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring up the subject because I think we discussed this on the air one time recently, and we've certainly discussed it on the website.
Actually, we wrote a column about it.
That was it. We wrote something in the column. That was it. I knew we had this.
But it's something like that.
We had discussed it.
Yeah.
And I had always been taught that I would adjust the left side mirror so that I could just see the back edge of the car. And I only learned recently that that was wrong because you get a horrible blind spot.
You do.
But someone wrote us a letter one day saying that's not how you adjust the mirrors. And sure enough, that's not how you adjust the mirrors. The real way to adjust the mirror, and here's, I'll explain it to you. It won't make any sense. But if you have access to the website, you go to cartalk.com and you'll find it there.
Okay.
You roll up the window. You rest your head against the window on the left side, not the right side.
The driver's window.
The driver's window, right? You rest your... I'm serious here now. Come on, Mary. rest your head against the window and you adjust the mirror now so that you can just barely see the tail end of the car.
Okay.
Now when you sit back up straight, you're not going to be able to see the tail end of the car at all because the mirror is adjusted so you can see way, way out to the left.
Okay.
But the interesting thing is that if you look behind you in the mirror that's in the car, what happens is...
The rear view mirror. This is the one attached to the windshield.
The one attached to the windshield, the rear view mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is if somebody is in that mirror and then disappears from view on your left, he immediately appears in the outside rearview mirror.
That's so smart.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And you do the same thing on the right side. You bend your head way over to the right and have someone else do it if you can't reach over there and adjust that mirror so you can just barely see the tail end of the right side of the car. And again, when you see a car behind you and it disappears over to the right, it immediately appears in the outside mirror.
I'm so happy.
Oh, this is such a great... I tell you, actually, someone told us this a couple of years ago, and we thought it was baloney. And I tried it, and I was so uncomfortable not being able to see the back end of the car all the time that I couldn't get used to it. And finally, I bit the bullet, and I said, I'm going to just wait until I get used to it. And
Yeah, his insurance agent insisted on it. He had sideswiped five cars in a month. He said, look, you got to do something.
It really, really does work. And I don't know where this other theory of seeing the tail end of the car. The tail end of the car isn't going anywhere.
Side view mirrors are a relatively recent phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did people do before? They had to turn around then?
Well, see, in the old days, you couldn't pass on the right. You didn't even need a mirror on the right.
Don't get me started.
There was nobody there.
Right.
But now people are passing on all sides. Pretty soon they're going to be passing from the top. And when that happens, we're all going to be in trouble.
Yeah. If you go to the website, you will find it on the homepage of the website.
Okay, thanks.
Cool. And
that's a good question, Mary. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, I am too, and so are all of the drivers in New Orleans.
See you. Thanks, Mary.
Great.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so you won't be cutting them off like you've been doing all this time.
Hey, look, it's time to find out if my brother remembers last week's puzzler.
Of course I remember last week's puzzler. Last week's puzzler was about the Bugatti and the Renault.
Okay, I didn't think so. Okay.
No.
It was about our esteemed producer and a little problem he had. Our producer, remember him?
We have a producer?
That's with a B. B. B.
Big mouth. Oh, yeah.
Bozo
Berman.
Anyway, I'll tell you what the puzzler was and give you the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned. And even though George Washington says, I paddled across the Delaware for this, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
What was the question? Oh, you're going to tell it?
I'm going to give you the question first.
And the answer.
I could just give you the answer? Maybe I should just do that.
You should just do that.
Long, long ago, when he was but a lad, our producer, Dougie Berman, had three girlfriends. This was before he was married, I think.
Now he's only got two.
Anyway, he had three girlfriends, and he would juggle them. On Monday, he would visit one. Tuesday, he'd visit another. And Wednesday, the third one. And then he'd repeat the process. And each time he would make one of these visits, he would drive his car. But before he could drive his car, because it was a real heap, he'd have to go through a little ritual. He would open the hood. He'd have to top off the coolant, because he was leaking coolant.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to top off the power steering fluid. That leaked, too. He'd have to fill up the oil because he was burning oil like crazy. Blew smoke out the tailpipe, the whole bit, you know. Anyway, he closes the hood, drives to girlfriend number one's house, and pulls into the driveway and parks the car. He follows the same procedure each day. He pulls as far into the driveway as he can so the other girlfriends won't see this jalopy because it's easily recognized.
Yeah.
He does this for girlfriend number one on Monday, number two on Tuesday, number three on Wednesday. But when he pulls into girlfriend number three's driveway, an interesting thing happens. Fire erupts under the hood. The thing bursts into flames, at which point he jumps out of the car, throws open the hood, removes his pants, and beats out the flames.
Wow.
Once the fire is out, he goes into the house and tries to explain to her parents why he's coming to meet her with no pants on. This goes on and on.
Dougie, you did all this? I'm impressed, man.
Girlfriend number one, no problem. Yeah. Girlfriend number two, no problem. Number three, same problem.
Yeah.
Burst into flames.
Yeah.
He can't explain it. He takes this as an omen and dumps the other two, figuring any girl that can set his pants on fire is going to be worth sticking around with. So now you have all the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rather lengthy narrative.
Yeah, I just figured it out as you were speaking.
What is it about his visit to girlfriend number three that causes this conflagration under the hood and ultimately in his pants?
Does it have something to do with power steering fluid and the shape of the driveway?
Exactly.
Does it?
You looked at my notes.
No. No, it's
exactly right.
Just
I mentioned earlier in the story that he added coolant.
Yeah.
He's leaking coolant. He's adding oil, but he's burning oil.
Burning the oil. The coolant's not going to
adds power steering fluid.
Power steering fluid.
When he pulls into the driveway of girlfriend number three, he has to make a very sharp turn. He has a leak in the high-pressure power steering hose. And when the wheel is cut all the way, the increased pressure in the system
squirts it out.
Squirts it out onto the hot exhaust manifold, and that small amount of fluid, whoop, bursts into flame.
Yeah.
And we know the rest of the story.
Gets now out, you
takes,
know.
Takes his pants off, et cetera, et cetera. And it was only because she had a driveway that had a much sharper turn than the other two.
Wow.
That he had to remove his pants.
And that's how Sip became Mrs. Doug Berman.
How unfortunate,
wow.
Huh?
Poor kid.
And who might our winner be this week, Tommy?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Wait a minute. Here it is. The winner is Ed Clopton from Iowa City, Iowa. And for having this correct answer chosen at random from among the thousands of right answers that we got this week, maybe three.
Four.
Our buddy Ed Clopton was going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com with which he can get our solid brass, more or less, old-fashioned tire gauge with a real classic old-style round pressure dial and a sturdy separate hose. Perfect for letting you know when you need to find a Yanteria. Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, much shorter puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. But if you have a question for us right now, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Barry from Los Angeles.
Hi, Barry. What's cooking, man?
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not from Los Angeles. I'm from the East Coast. My parents are Bostonians. I'm 32 years old, never owned a car in my life.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I've been making my way around Los Angeles, usually with my bicycle, sporting one of your bumper stickers. Actually, it says drive now, talk later.
What, are you getting stuck to your butt?
I had one stuck to my butt in a day.
Yes, how did you know?
Well, here's what happens. I'll tell you a little aside here. We do the show.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I go to Home Depot to pick up, you know, my usual quota of 2x4s and you know, sheetrock.
A couple of tools.
And I'm standing there in one of the aisles, and a woman comes up to me, and she says, "Do you know you have a bumper sticker stuck on your butt?" Well, they had put one of our bumper stickers.
How'd that happen?
Sheep Boy.
It was an accident.
Doug Mayer.
It was probably an accident.
Yeah, Doug Mayer. See the haircut he got? That was no accident. I bribed his barber.
But
and
you
he
got all
put
the...
this thing on the seat. Of course, I sit down on it. It immediately adheres to my butt. And I walk around for the next 5 hours at Home Depot. God.
Yeah,
anyway, so you're
good.
Getting around with your bicycle.
That was the day we followed you around because we just wanted to see how long it would last before anyone noticed it.
It was many hours.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so after getting hit by a second time by a car a few weeks ago,
yeah,
friends are telling me it's time to grow up and buy a car. And I still don't want a car, but I'm getting a lot of pressure for it. And it seems to make more sense to finally get a car. But I'm afraid of the implications. I'm afraid it's going to turn me into a Los Angelino that... You know, the bicycle is my main form of exercise, but if I get a car, does that mean I then need to join a gym? And then does plastic surgery come next?
Yeah. I mean, it will change everything.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, this is what I'm afraid of.
Unfortunately, L.A., I think, unless it depends on what kind of life you lead, but it's a lousy city in which to have a bike.
Yeah.
Because there are so many darn cars.
Yeah.
And it's a lousy city not to have a car.
Yeah. I mean, and you really can't get any place, but it's going to change your life.
Yeah.
So your real reason for wanting to buy a car or thinking you need to buy a car is that the cars keep hitting you and you just want to, like, get even? And run over a couple of bicyclists? I mean, I tell you, it will change your life, and if that's what you want to do with your life, you go right ahead.
Jeez, I can't say that I'm against you here. I mean, I would not want to buy, if I could possibly get by without a car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't own one either.
Yeah.
So I think you should give it another chance. You should buy a better helmet.
Buy a better helmet.
Yeah.
I think of just surrounding myself with a big tire as I drive on the bicycle.
And how dangerous is it? I know in California their motorists are pretty cognizant of pedestrians.
Well, there aren't any.
With that, there you go.
Yeah. So it's kind of a shock when they see one, I think.
Well, the other thing is, I presume that your lifestyle is such, your travels that you do are within a few miles of where you live.
Pretty much. I'm a student. I came out here for school.
Yeah.
I live about 8 miles away or so from school, so I can ride along the beach and then cut over to come to school.
Yeah, what could be better than that?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, don't buy a car. I'm going to stick with my brother on this.
Don't give that up.
All right.
Don't give in, man.
Thank you.
And get more insurance.
Yeah. We'll send flowers to your mother if they run you down.
Good
All
luck,
right.
man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See
Bye-bye.
You later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Scott from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I have a truly bizarre problem. You've probably never heard of this. I have a 95 Ford Explorer, and it sings.
Sings?
It makes a really loud musical tone under the hood.
And, under the hood.
Yeah, and it sounds actually just like a French horn, I swear. It
French.
Goes, ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba.
And the thing is, it only does it when it's at idle.
Well, I'm going to ask you one very profound
penetrating question.
What, am I sick?
No, no.
Does it have to do with the color?
No, it does not have to do with the color. That was my next question.
That was
question.
Your backup question.
Does it run perfectly smoothly at idle? Now, before you answer, think of the consequences. And really think about how it ran before it made this noise compared to how it runs now.
No, it runs smooth.
Son of a...
And the only other clue I can give you is that it doesn't do it right when I start it up.
Well, the only reason I mention this is we had... back in 1959.
We had a 59 Ford Explorer.
No, we had an Explorer in the shop a few months ago that was making, I mean, I don't know what your French horn sounds like, but I know what mine sounds like. And we had one that was making what I could have believed was a French horn sound. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a vacuum leak. You know, remember the old days when you were a kid, you took a piece of tissue paper and a comb?
Sure.
And you blew across that thing and you got that tissue paper to vibrate against the comb?
Right.
Those are the days when we used to carry combs. I don't carry a comb anymore because, what, I have nothing to comb.
I don't have one anymore.
But you could get that noise by blowing through that tissue paper.
Right.
And if that's the kind of noise you're getting, then it could be that where the vacuum leak is, if it's a hose, where the air is being sucked in, the crack in the hose is vibrating like that tissue paper would.
Right.
And we found that just by using a piece of hose ourselves, stuck in our ear, and the other end...
Moving around
until you found the source of it.
Uh-huh.
And then we said, and as soon as you put your finger on it, boom, the noise stops. So,
I mean, you might be able to do it just by sticking your ear in there and listening.
So is this something that, like, could really cause a problem? I mean,
no. Eventually, the leak will get worse, and then it'll start running badly.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be something completely unrelated to this.
But this is so good.
What do I do if there really is a French horn player under there?
Well, call us immediately. See you, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a rotten gig that would be, huh? Okay, I got a job for you. You're going to play under the hood of a 95 Ford Explorer. I'll take it. Business is bad.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jane from Chandler, Arizona.
J-A-Y?
No, J-A-N-E.
Oh, Jane.
Yeah, like in Tarzan.
And did you say Phoenix?
Chandler, right near Phoenix.
Chandler, Arizona.
Third largest growing city in the United States.
Yeah.
Up to 12 people?
No.
15.
Every time you add a person, it's the fastest growing.
Yeah, right. But at least we're warm.
Well, we're actually broadcasting from South Beach, and it's 82 here.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, South Beach, right.
What's up, Jane?
Well, I have a crazy 93 Civic, Honda Civic.
Yeah.
Okay, about 3 weeks ago, I was taking a trip up north to Sedona in the mountains. And just as I started up the first mountain, I hear this knock, knock. I thought I was going
nuts. You said, who's there?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. When I was back in my car, I had left my trunk open for a while, and I thought, oh, my gosh, someone's crawled in there. So it's this loud, loud knocking noise, and it kept it up louder and louder. I couldn't pull off on the interstate. So I kept it up, and I'm thinking somebody's in there, and he's trying to get out.
But it's in the back, you hear it.
Yes, in the back. It's a metal sounding, and it sounds like it's coming, like, from the trunk. Anyway, it finally stopped after I got down the last mountain into Sedona. I come back. As soon as I get in the mountain again, it starts up again.
Did you have to be climbing the mountain?
That's the question.
Up or down?
Oh, what a rotten answer. Oh. Jane, that is the worst possible.
We're going to give you a moment to reconsider.
Well, I'm going north. I'm going north. But...
is that your final answer, Jane?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Okay, so this keeps up. Now it's doing it down here in the valley, but it just does it a couple times and stops. I took it to one mechanic. He said, oh, it's your exhaust and your tailpipe system. That didn't help a bit.
Did he change the system?
No. He said
it was hitting.
He tightened it. But it doesn't sound like it's coming from out. It sounds like it's inside.
I mean, does it sound like somebody has dropped a bowling ball in the trunk?
No, it sounds like they have a hammer and they're beating on the side. Whew. There wasn't anybody in there.
and when it happens, it's not rhythmic in any way. It's
no.
Just a one-time boom. It might be two or three in a row. Boom,
that's
boom.
That's right. It's not rhythmic.
And does it happen when you hit bumps?
Well, no. Going up and down the mountain, there's no...
There were no bumps.
No bumps.
Does it happen more often as you're accelerating or braking?
No, because I wasn't braking. No, not when I'm braking.
Would you get with the program here and give us an answer that we can work with? Work with me, Jane. Work with me here.
You've been obstinate, defiant, and completely uncooperative.
Okay. Well, how about the loose shock theory?
Well,
I like that, don't you?
No.
You know, come on. Work with me.
It was a shock, all right.
Well, the fact that it happens with seeming unpredictability.
How about the sway bar theory?
Well, it could be. I don't think she has a sway bar.
Could we get one installed?
It certainly could be a suspension problem. I think of all the possible suspension problems, I think a broken coil spring.
I like that. I could certainly live with that.
Yeah. It would have. Why it would happen going up or down hills, I don't know. But certainly things do change when you go up and or down hills.
How about when you're going level
ground? I think what happened is more of the thing broke even more. And it's difficult to spot. And I wouldn't be surprised if the fellow who had it on the lift and corrected your exhaust problem didn't even see this, because the way they break is at the very bottom on the last turn of the coil.
Okay.
That's my feeling. Either that or there's a missing softball in the trunk.
Oh, wow.
Or watermelon. You wouldn't bring any watermelons up there at the donut, were you?
But, yeah, I can just see me going in there. And as soon as I go in, they go rolling their eyes like, oh, here comes a dumb woman again.
Well, you might want to try another
maybe
shot.
It's not that you're dumb. Maybe you're just wacko.
Oh, come on.
They got you figured out, Jay.
I mean, I get the same thing every place I go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Enjoy the wonderful weather and get this looked at, because a broken spring is no laughing matter, even though we're laughing at it.
Okay.
Good luck, Jane.
See you, Jane.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right, look, before we get to the new puzzle, we need to take a short break.
Yeah, I don't know why we need a break. I mean, it's not like we're busting them here. We're drinking coffee. We're taking a few calls.
Hey, the break's not for us, knucklehead. The break is for our poor, suffering listeners.
And a minute is all they're going to get? That's too bad.
We'll be back with more of your calls and the new puzzle right after you guys get away from us for a minute.
If I had a company truck, well, driving a river might get stuck overboard. What then? Well, I'd jam it in reverse and do it all over again. drive with lights, I drive with wipers. I predict a mock hope on a drug with vipers. What then? Well, I jam it in reverse and do it all in reverse.
And even though earplug salesmen start singing Happy Days Are Here Again whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. By the way, how are we doing so far as figuring out which one of us isn't?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
Well, I'm sure the listeners are. Anyway.
I don't know if I'm mootless.
You're mootless, all right. here's a new Puzzler, and I don't know who sent this in, but here it is, and it went like this. When I was in school, our teacher had the habit of putting little cryptic messages on the blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, it was near the end of the school year, she wrote the following thing on the board.
Do I need a pencil for this?
You need a pencil.
Okay, go ahead.
E-I-L-N-P-U.
Huh?
And the only, the hint I'll give is that it was near the end of the school year.
E-I-L-N-P-U.
There you go. Our teacher had the habit of putting little cryptic little messages on the blackboard, and one day she puts up the following little message for us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, there are hints all over the place here. You got to pay attention.
Yeah.
And here's the message. E-I-L-N-P-U. In that order. And the hint is, it was near the end of the school year.
The end of the school year.
End of the school year.
End of the school year.
How many times do you want me to say it? It was the end of the school year. Now, if you think you know the answer,
well,
write it on
the
back.
Hint.
Of a $20 bill. The hint is designed so that when the answer is given to you, you will say, oh, I should have gotten the hint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
okay, I get it now.
Okay, so you can write your answer on the back of a $20 bill or any piece of fish or fowl and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Ma 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Ari calling from Lincoln, Vermont.
Hi, Ari, what's going
A-R-I?
On?
A-R-I?
A-R-I, that's correct.
Lincoln. I don't know.
Lincoln, Vermont? Where's that?
Lincoln, Vermont, it's on the edge of the Green Mountains, probably about 20 miles northeast of Middlebury and about 20 miles southeast of Burlington.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right, we know where you are.
We know where that is.
Yeah. That's the warm part of the state.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah, we're in the banana belt.
Yeah, banana belt. So what's cooking, Ari?
Well, my wife and I just bought a house, and it's at the end of a really long, steep driveway, and we thought that we ought to buy a plow truck so we could get out of our house during the wintertime to get to our jobs.
Okay.
So I've got this plow truck. It's a 1980s Ford F-350.
Excellent.
And I would never dare take it on the street because it's pretty rusted out.
But it's got a plow on it.
But it's got a plow on it, and it runs, but it runs really rough. And
Who cares?
I say rough, my 18-month-old, who's just learning how to talk, believes that all trucks growl and bark. Here's my problem. The driveway's probably about a tenth of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is, the other night when I was plowing the driveway, of course the headlights don't work on this thing. So I've got my Petzl headlamp on my head, and I'm hanging the head out the window.
And candles.
And it's probably about negative 20 degrees with a wind chill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm plowing the driveway, and my wife is shouting at me. And she's telling me that there are a series of mini explosions coming that she can see from underneath the truck as I'm plowing.
Yeah.
Oh, from underneath the truck.
Underneath the truck.
Oh, because there's no exhaust system on it anymore, probably,
well,
or not much.
I could see a tailpipe, but I'm pretty much convinced
there's nothing connected to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And what she's actually seeing is flashes of light under there?
Yeah, precisely.
Okay.
Perfect.
Now, yeah, I'd like to live a little bit longer, at least long enough to see my child grow up and quit college on me.
Yeah.
My first question is, am I putting myself in harm's way by operating this truck? I've tried to do everything I know how to do in order to get it to run a little bit smoother, checked out spark plugs, put in carburetor cleaner, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Before I do any kind of major overhaul, especially in the kind of weather that we're getting up here, I was wondering if I could just kind of use this for the rest of the winter.
Well, I mean, I would go out and buy a couple of headlights. I mean, that would be a nice thing. It would be really good to be able to see where you're going. There might be a dog down there. Who knows?
Yeah, that might be a good first step.
I'm also wondering, there's a power steering leak. And I'm wondering.
Ari, it's a one-hour show. And we're on the third half hour now. I think we ought to focus on the fire in the hole.
I want to focus on the fire in the hole. And I'm thinking that maybe the power steering fluid is leaking out and igniting somehow.
Wrong.
Why I'm not a mechanic.
Well, I think if that were happening, that you wouldn't be calling us now. You would have called the fire department already. But I think what's happening is you have an engine, you have a cross-fired distributor cap.
Okay.
And if you have a cross-fired cap or crossed wires even, you could be getting explosions because you're getting out the tailpipe or out the exhaust pipe, wherever it happens to be severed. You could be getting explosions because you're igniting gasoline in cylinders whose valves are open.
Uh-huh.
However, that being said, you're not going to fix any of this now because it's too damn cold.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is going to be a summer project.
Exactly. You're going to tough it out for the rest of the winter and hope that you don't set the house on fire.
And I'm not going to do any irreparable damage to the truck.
You're not going to damage
tough.
The truck. The truck,
damage the truck.
The truck is tough. No,
not chance.
I wouldn't worry about the truck. The truck will prevail. So you're not going to hurt the truck in all likelihood. If it's something like a skip timing chain, then you're not going to fix that yourself at all.
Forget it. Yeah.
You know, and it could be. It could be, but it could easily be a bad distributor cap or bad spark plug wires or fouled plug or something. And any of those can cause this problem, although you said you changed the plugs.
I checked out the plugs, and they seemed fine. But I didn't change the cap or the wires go into the plugs.
When you checked out the plugs,
mm-hmm.
did the situation get worse afterwards?
I didn't recognize that there was this problem before I changed the plugs. I just wanted this is in the fall. I wanted to make sure that that the truck would at least get me through the winter.
I'm guessing you put the plug wires on wrong.
You think so?
Yeah. I know so now. This truck was running perfectly well, and you had nothing to do. And you decided to check out the plugs. And then when you did that, you put the damn plug wires on the wrong plugs.
No kidding.
Yeah, so what you need to do is you need to go...
Here's what you got to do.
You got to go online and find out...
No, not online. You got to go to the nearest mechanic and say, how much would it take to get you to come to my house in the daylight and just take a look at my spark plug wire?
Better than that. Ask him if he can just draw you a picture of the location of the wires on the distributor cap and the firing order. Now, I don't know what it is for an F-350. If you had a GM car, it would tell you it's 1-843-6572,
yeah.
And I could tell you where all the things were located, but
yeah,
I don't know if they are.
F-350, nobody knows.
Well, yeah. Somebody does, but I don't. But you can find out the firing order, and every shop has a book. We now have it all on our computer, but every shop has books or something on the computer that can show you where the distributor is located, where number one spark plug wire is connected on the distributor, and it also will show you where number one spark plug wire connects
You're
to.
You're asking Ari to do
Ari
things.
Can do it. He screwed, Ari screwed it up. He's fixing it.
Ari, what do you do for a living? Are you like a doctor?
Yeah, I'm a professor.
Oh, well, you're a professor.
You are in possession of sufficient intellect.
No, 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 no.
And I think
Ari... What do you teach? What do you teach?
I teach psychology.
Oh.
So he's a doctor.
My brother is crazy. Forget about any diagrams. You want to give someone $20 and let them drive over to your house, open the hood and say, boom. And he's done.
Well, that's the easy way, Ari. But it's not the cowboy way. As our friend Too Slim would say.
It's not the cowboy.
It's not the cowboy right. way.
And if it weren't so darn cold out, I would go along with what my brother is saying. But it's 5 degrees up there, if it is.
Well, that's why I suggest you wait until spring.
Well, he's got to get the thing so it runs at least.
Don't you have a daughter that goes to UVM?
She could fix this.
No, you could go up and visit her, and you could visit Ari.
Yeah, come on down. We'll make you dinner.
Luckily, she flunked out.
She quit.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, look, if you want to do it the cowboy way, Ari, find a repair shop, ask them to give you a little printout of the, or you can draw yourself a little schematic of the distributor cap and the various cylinders and where they're located, and you'll know where the wires go. You're a smart guy. You will feel a tremendous sense of accomplishment, and this will be restorative for your self-esteem when you put the wires on right, because I know deep down that you screwed this up. And before your wife hears this show, you can have the truck running like a dream. Good luck, man.
Well, thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Maria Teresa. I'm calling you from North Carolina.
Maria Teresa.
Teresa.
Hi.
Wow. North Carolina.
Yes.
The whole state.
Well, actually, I'm from Chapel Hill, but since one of your last callers was from Chapel Hill, I was embarrassed that we were getting more than our fair.
Yeah, you Chapel Hillians are ganging up on us.
Yes.
So are you related to academics in any way? Are you a college professor, a student?
Or Mother Teresa?
Well, I'm almost a tenured student now.
A tenured student? Oh, you can become that. They never gave me that option.
I'm also pastor of a local congregation, and that's the reason I'm calling you, because basically, my folks have told me I have to buy a new car.
Yeah, huh.
I drive a Nissan Sentra that has over 150,000 miles, and my husband drives a 92 Mazda Protege with over 140,000 miles, and we like our cars, and we're kind of having a hard time deciding which one to get rid of, but also we need to know what to buy.
Wow.
And the new one has to last at least 10 years.
Oh, of course.
Right. But I tell you, the good news is the folks in my church took up a collection. They thought I was never going to, you know, go out and buy something. So for my birthday in November, they gave me $2,500, which is really nice for this little church. But now they're asking me every Sunday.
When are you going to buy the car?
Yeah, or can we have our money back?
Yeah, with interest, if you don't
mind. Either buy a car or give us the money back.
Right. So I'm kind of getting desperate. I'm embarrassed to show my face in church. So
so's my brother.
Well, if they gave me $2,500, I'd show up.
So is there something that you think we could get it that's about a couple of years old that would be solid, last about 10 years?
What's your budget? $10,000?
Right.
How big is the family?
5 members. I have 3 kids.
How far?
4 to 17 years old.
Are there any of these kids who would like living with a relative maybe for a few years?
Well, my son, the 17-year-old, is planning on driving it, so it can't be one that looks too much like its mom's car, you know?
Oh, we got to add that to the mix.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, but let's face it. It's rare that all 5 of you are in the car at the same time. Isn't that not true?
I hate to say, we like to go places together.
And the 17-year-old has not decided that his parents are complete losers and doesn't want to even be seen with you yet?
Not as long as we let him drive.
Okay, and how many miles a year do you drive?
About 25,000.
Man!
You need to relocate.
Man!
Well, we're waiting for them to build the rapid transit system, you know, here in the Triangle. Maybe I should.
But they haven't started yet, have they?
No,
they're working on it, though.
They're working on it.
So we're going to address the car you're going to have to buy.
Okay.
I think no matter what you get,
okay,
your 17-year-old son is going to hate it and you.
Oh.
And now us.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, because no matter what you do, he's going to hate you.
But if you want something that you're likely to get 180,000 miles out of in the life of the vehicle, I think I have to recommend like a Toyota van.
Toyota van.
Like a Sienna.
Uh-huh.
Or a Honda Odyssey.
Okay, I'm hoping somebody out there that has one of those to sell is going to call me as soon as they hear this show.
You do, huh?
No. It will embarrass my son a little bit, but...
Yeah, well, once you buy it, he's going to run away from home anyway.
Yeah, because you'll be such an embarrassment to him that he won't want to be associated with you anymore.
Right,
and then you won't need the Odyssey, so maybe you can just borrow it for a week. Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you so
Maria
much,
Teresa.
Guys. Muchas gracias.
De nada.
Hey, good luck, kiddo.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Buena suerte, I think, is good luck.
Buena suerte.
Is that right?
That means I hope you have a nice sweater.
Buena suerte. that too. Nice sweater.
It's just as good.
Yeah.
If you have a good sweater, you don't need anything else.
No, especially in New England.
Especially in Chaplin.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy. I like Bongo Boy. It just kind of rolls off the
lips.
And
it's alliterative when you say Bongo Boy Berman.
Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mayor. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fargo Fur Feather and Finn Friolator Fun Fest, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our emergency preparedness director is Ron Likel. Our solicitor of new ideas is Obi Quiet. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our rental property manager is Ulysses Up. Our construction manager is Dustin Dubree. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester, of course, is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the icicle-covered tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack. The Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my sister.
Don't drive like my brother or my sister.
Don't drive like my sister.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1307, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to be a great customer, a mechanic's eye guide to how to get the best service from your mechanic.
Rule number one, don't come in swinging a baseball bat.
Yeah, that and lots of helpful suggestions. Check out how to be a great customer this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Abe Lincoln flings himself into his reflecting pool whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.